Religion is nothing more than man's response to the God he thinks he knows or knows. Now, your religion will never be any better than your knowledge of God. And there is an eternity of difference between knowing God and knowing about God. I can learn about God from seminary professors, but I can only know God by meeting Him face to face. There are only about 5 people in this whole auditorium that know me. Some of them not even well. Maybe 6. I saw Paul Williams down here, but he doesn't really know me. He used to know me. I hope the me that is different than the me he used to know. It's been 5 or 6 years. But listen, the greatest advantage in praying is not to get stuff out of God, but to know Him. How do you know a person? There's only one way to know a person, and that's to interact with them in conversation. When I was in college, a girl used to say to me, "I wish you'd date my roommate." Well, I'm always suspicious of roommates that girls are trying to get you to date. I figure they must be in pretty bad shape if somebody has to get them a date. And you ever fallen for that trap once, you're very, very cautious. Well, she just kept on. She said, "Would you date my roommate? She's the nicest girl in all the world." Well, you know, sometimes the lesser of two evils, when you got a persistent woman after you, is to go ahead and date her roommate, and that's what I did. Well, you know, I dated her roommate, and she was pretty nice. And so I dated her again and again, and as I dated her, I got to know her, and one day I said, "Boy, I'd sure like to live with her forever." So, you see, on the basis of knowing, I proposed. We got married, and I got to know her better and better and better and better and better. And today, what a relationship. Wouldn't take it for anything in all the world. But how did I get into this relationship of trust and love and care? It was by interacting with her. Dear friends, would you know this tonight? There is nothing better than God Himself. Don't go after God so you can get something else. Go after God so you can have Him. Listen, most of us are idolaters. We're going after God to get something else. We just want to use God to get something else. Listen, if you've got God, you don't need anything else. You know, that's why the psalmist says, "The Lord is my strength." He didn't say, "Lord, give me strength." He said, "The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my song." You see, God had become everything to him. And I want to beg you tonight, in order to save yourself many strikeouts when you're going to pray and going to get to know him, talk to him, let him talk to you. And I guarantee you one thing, no matter what you've heard about God from the devil, no matter what you think you know about God, you haven't even begun to love him yet till you get to know him. Oh, I tell you, when you get to know him, you love him. And when you love him, this Christian life will be a love life of spontaneity, where you just do what you do because you love him. And I'll tell you something, that's all there is to it. Now, what I'm trying to talk to you tonight is about how to date God effectively. I mean, you see, I'm telling you, when you go out to date God, what he likes to be talked about to, okay? I just want to share with you how to spend 30 minutes with God tonight. And as you spend 30 minutes with God, you're going to want to spend another 30 and another 30. I can honestly say this beyond any shadow of a doubt, that my time alone with God is the best time in my life. I thank God for great preachers, but there is no greater preacher than God the Holy Ghost. And when he and I are together in a group of one and he speaks to me, I'm getting it straight. When I get it from Brother Rogers, or he gets it from me, or you get it from him, you're getting it second-handed. But when you meet with him yourself. Now, I just want to flip through this book tonight and just give you an idea. One of the reasons it's put in a loose-leaf notebook is you can add, take out things and shift it around. But listen to me, now listen carefully. You know, if you went to learn to type or to play the piano, you'd follow somebody's rules if you didn't have any other. Now, I'm suggesting tonight that if you don't have a prayer style, you follow this until you develop your own, then you can change it into anything you want. If you already have an effective prayer style, for goodness sake, don't change it. Just pray tonight that the Lord might be able to enrich it a little. And if you have found effective things in communicating with Him and letting Him communicate with you, you ought to share it with others, because we all want to know Him better and better. So take your books and open them, and I'm just going to take you on a sort of little walk through the book tonight to tell you how to have a good date with God. And by the way, you can't date God unless you're dressed up in Jesus, okay? That's right. If you're going to have a date with God, the only clothes He recognizes is the Lord Jesus. So you get dressed up in Jesus. And another thing, get filled with the Holy Ghost, because you won't recognize God unless you're full of the Holy Ghost. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you'll recognize God's voice. You'll see God in all that happens. Listen, God's ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're just that much higher. And you and I have not got the capacity to understand what God is saying to us unless we have the Holy Ghost just filling us and interpreting it. So, I'm saying this to you. If you're going to have a date in prayer with God, the two absolute essentials to begin with is to be dressed up in Jesus and to get full of the Holy Spirit. And every morning when I go to praying, and this is my book right here, but a lot of it's been changed around and added to, and I just wanted to make sure I went along with you tonight. But the first thing in here is this. I ask the Lord every day, would you just fill me with this day full of the Holy Ghost? Because I'm already dressed up in Jesus, and I just want the Holy Ghost to fill me and go to pray. Okay, let's go through this book together. And those of you on the radio, it's a prayer notebook. It's a workbook. Now, you know, talking about prayer is one thing, but praying is another. Folks, can I share this with you? For years, I used to live on the basis of other people's experiences. I used to go around saying, isn't God wonderful? Look what He's done for Adrian Rogers. Isn't God wonderful? Look what He's done for Tommy Lane. Isn't God wonderful? Have you read the latest book, What God Did for This Woman in Atlanta? But I'm going to tell you something that's more exciting than that, when you can stand up and say what God's doing for you. That's exciting. That's real living. You don't have to have somebody else's testimony to know that God is alive. And it's exciting. And let me say this to you. If you date God regularly, and I use that word very cautiously, but if you enter into a meaningful dialogue with God, prayer life with God, I tell you something, you won't have to live in somebody else's religious experience a year from now. You'll be saying to folks, God is saying this to me, and this is happening in my life, and that is happening in my life. And your religious experience will no longer be secondhand, it'll be firsthand, you and God. You know what part of the new covenant is for every Christian? That you should know Him and He should know you. So, listen. The devil will fight you more at this place than any other place. If he can keep you from praying, he will. Don't let him. I want to tell you at the close tonight, and you remind me too, if you would, the story that Sidlow Baxter told in Decision Magazine about 6 or 8 years ago. Now, the first sheet is, if you're keeping it, you write your name on it, so that you'll sometimes leave them around. This, it's called 2959 to encourage you to spend 29 minutes and 59 seconds with God. You know how long that is? That's the length of the 6:30 news. That's half of the detective program. That's all. That's half. Half of the average television, that's all. That's all that it is. It's not long, isn't it? You know how quickly that program goes by. Shoop! Well, if the detective program goes by, shoop! This will go by quicker because it's just half the length of time, right? Let me tell you something. If you're bored with God for 30 minutes, you don't know God very well. Okay? If you look over on the next page, Soul Nourishment First, is a testimony by George Mueller. You want to know why men of God are great men of God, you read that and you'll find out. Everybody has a different style. Turn over the page to Personal Bible Assimilation. I pray and read the Bible at the same time so I can speak to God and He can speak to me. You mix them up. It's a tremendous time to spend a quiet time alone with God. Okay, we're not going to get into that. Turn over to What Prayer Is. You can read this. The main thing that I say here is this, that I want you to get. is prayer is not moving God over to my point of view. Prayer is moving me over to God's point of view. It's finding out what he wants and saying, I'll go there, and moving in where God is. You see, prayer is nothing more than my response to God. I meet God, and I find him to be loving. And when somebody loves me, I bless them. When somebody is good to me, I thank them. When I encounter God and he's holy, I wipe off all the dirt. You can't pray really effectively and have sin in your life, because when you get into his presence, the dirt shows up and you brush it off. See, prayer is my response. And I know God loves my brothers and sisters in Christ, so he tells me to pray for them. Prayer is my response to God's care for others. Prayer is my response to a loving Heavenly Father saying to his child, child, son, ask me what you will, and I'll give it to you, if I can. Okay, let's turn on over. In the early hour, I went over all of this. You can read it. I haven't got time tonight. A guide to prayer. Turn over, a guide to praise. Now, we're going to practice praising in just a little bit, but you hold on. That's a guide. You can read that. And then, a guide to confession or how wrongs are righted. The basic stuff in here is what Mr. Gothard has given. And the only thing that hinders you from getting through to God is sin. And you better get it right. Turn on over the page. Intercession pleases God. That's praying for others. I believe God loves it when I pray for other people, especially his children and the ones that are doing fine. I pray for Brother Rogers every Wednesday. I've got him on a whole page. I think that much of him. I really do. I don't know any man that I believe God can use any more in America than him. And I just want to do my little part in his ministry. And I pray for your pastor regularly. You certainly ought to do it here. My life. I can't imagine if every one of you spend 10 minutes a week in prayer for him, what would happen to him on Sunday mornings? He couldn't. I mean, the Holy Ghost would be on him in a greater way than ever. Do you know that the greatest evangelist in America to ever hit America was Charles Finney? 85% of his converts stuck. Do you know what the secret of Charles Finney's ministry was? When he went to town, two guys went to town with him. They really went before him. And they just prayed the whole time. One of them was named Father Nash. He'd pray for 6 hours. The other guy'd pray for 6 hours. He'd pray for 6 hours. That's all they did. And God would come down. And when God didn't come down, Finney joined them till God came down. Folks, let me tell you what the problem is today. It isn't getting people to God. It's getting God to come to people. Because people can't come to God till God first comes to people. Okay, intercession. Now, the weapons of our warfare. Do you know what weapons you have when you're fighting against principalities and against powers? Let's just take a quick look through this tonight. They're the words of praise. The devil can't stand praise. Listen, when you're having it down, praise. Praise. When it's getting rough, praise. There's a man sitting here tonight. He was sitting in the front row. He's going with me on this trip. He is having a tough time sometime here back. Now, I've got a little party. It's called a Count It All Joy Party. He was having the toughest time in all of his life, and he came in to see me, and he said, what should I do? And I said, throw a party. And he threw a party the next Saturday night to celebrate his temptation. This is a form of praise, obeying God. He had us all over the stakes, had some of his friends over the stakes. We threw a big party. He told me on the way to the airport yesterday that his whole life changed since he praised God in rough circumstances. Have you ever thought about throwing a party? The Bible says count it all joy when you get into temptation. Well, when you count something all joy, you throw a party, don't you? Invite some friends over. It's tough. Come with me. God must be in the works. He must have something good. Boy, that's real Christianity. Praise God. Another weapon of our warfare is the word of truth. Oh, the precious name of the Lord Jesus is another weapon in our warfare. The word of faith, the blood of Jesus, and so forth. You read these, you better learn about them. You remember what Jesus said to Peter when he told him about the church? I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. You see, keys open and shut doors. Have you ever wondered why some of the doors you were praying against didn't open? You didn't use the right key. Sooner or later, you will be able to walk through those doors. If they're God's doors for you to walk through, you better learn the weapons of your warfare. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not your teenage boy that's giving you hell right now that's the problem. It's the devil behind your teenage boy. And if you learn how to bind the enemy, do you know something? Jesus only, listen to me carefully. I don't understand all this means, but I'll learn a little bit. Jesus only used the word church twice in the Gospels, in Matthew 16 and Matthew 18, and this is just a plain fact. And both times he used the word church, he gave a promise. Whatever is bound in heaven, you can bind on earth. Whatever is loosed in heaven, you can loose on earth. Brother, that's a pretty big promise. And both times he mentioned the word church, he gave that. There is tremendous power. This man that's sitting in here tonight's name, Bill Massey. Let me tell you about him. And Brother Rogers entered into this story. Remember that day? He was a backslidden Baptist preacher living full of hell in Titusville, Florida. Member of our church. And he hadn't been to church in 3 years. And we were having an all-night prayer meeting. And I saw him in a restaurant at about 9:30 that night, and I said, Bill, how about coming to the all-night prayer meeting? Now, you can't even get deacons to come to all-night prayer meetings, much less a backslidden Baptist preacher. Well, you know what we did? We went down to the church that night, and at 11 o'clock, 11 of us got in a corner. And we said, Lord, we believe you want us to bring Bill Massey down to the church tonight. And we interceded before God Almighty for 30 minutes. Then we had a release. We didn't need to pray anymore. At 1 o'clock in the morning, he walked into that church under his own power. 4 of us stayed up with him all night and prayed all night. I'll never forget that night as long as I live. Brother, I'll tell you something. We were battling. We didn't know much about what we were doing, but we'd pray for guidance and God would give it. And at 6 o'clock the next morning, I saw a New Testament miracle take place. I'm telling you, this was such an unusual New Testament miracle. I didn't even believe myself for sure. I had to take him down to Brother Rogers and Joyce. And I said, let's tell them what happened. See if they get a witness that all of this is real. It looks too unreal to be real. You know, for a guy who'd lived in the power of the flesh all of his life. Listen, I saw God come out of heaven and perform it. Isn't that right? You remember that day? And that man's here tonight. And just 2 or 3 weeks ago, God called him back into the ministry. And he's going back into the ministry. And he's going with me on this trip to be a prayer partner. I'll tell you something, folks. Listen, when we pray, and we pray under the guidance of the Holy Ghost, God does what all of us put together couldn't do in 20 years. Now, these are the some of the weapons of our warfare that are listed here. Now, turn this thing sideways and let me explain something to you. I'm giving you the techniques of praying tonight. It is very unwise. I have found this true, but I got this from people like Oswald J. Smith and Watchman Nee and other people, great prayer warriors, to pray for everything every day. It is very unwise. So, this is broken up into daily and then 7 days a week, right here. Now, we said that one of the first things you ought to do is to pray. So, I want you to get the Sunday flipper and flip it open like that and flip it right there. Now, on all of the daily sheets and the first sheet after the daily sheets are nothing but scriptures of praise which you can read to God until you learn how to praise Him. I use these this morning, and what I'd like us to do all right now is this. I'd like us to praise the Lord Jesus Christ right now, and I'd like us. Now look, forget about me, forget about yourself. We've got a beautiful new call to worship you've got to get a hold of. It's called, we have come into this house to call upon your name and worship you. We have come into this house to call upon your name and worship you, to worship you, Christ our Lord. And the second stanza goes like this, so forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Worship Christ our Lord. And listen to me tonight, I'd like us just to worship Him now. This is nothing but scripture. And listen, I'd like us to say it out loud. There are power in words. And I'd like us to read to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, this tribute of praise, which you could obviously see, comes from the scriptures. And I'd like us to start where it says, you are the head of all things. Now look, let's just worship Him here tonight. We're going to read this to Him. We're going to say to Him what's true about Him. And even if you don't know this, I'll tell you it's true about Him, and you can't go wrong saying it, okay? Okay, you ready? Let's just read it to the Lord Jesus. You are the head of all things, Lord Jesus. You are the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In you all things were created, in the heavens and on the earth. All things have been created through you and for you. You are before all things, and in you all things hold together. You are the head of the body, the church. You are the firstborn from the dead, so that you yourself might have first place in all things. It was the Father's good pleasure for all fullness to dwell in you, and through you to reconcile all things to himself, whether in heaven or on earth. You are the head over all rule and authority, and in you we are made complete. Doesn't it feel good to read that to him? Well, whether it feels good to you or not is beside the point. We don't come to prayer to feel good for ourselves. We come to make him feel good. You know, and I'll tell you something. When we start to praise him, he feels good. He likes it. Look at the top of that page. The psalmist says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Now, what I'd like to suggest to you is this. At the beginning, you can't go wrong. In the beginning of your prayer time, coming into his presence with thanksgiving and coming into his presence with praise. Now, what I'd like you to do right now is this. I'd like you to thank God for four things, and I'm going to name the area, and in your heart, here's how I want you to do it. Have you ever heard of a testimony meeting? They say, I'd like to thank God for something. I always stop them and say, if you'd like to thank God, why in goodness name don't you go ahead and thank him and saying, I want to thank him, right? I mean, you know, why do we go around things in such a long way? I'd like to thank the Lord for his blessings. Well, if you'd like to thank him, go ahead and thank him, okay? Now, here's what I want you to say. I want you to thank the Lord right now for some material blessing. It would go like this. I thank you, Lord, for shoes. Now, something that you're thankful for, just say it in your heart. Lift it up to him right now. I thank you, Lord, for, and put some material blessing in there. Okay, now thank him for some physical blessing. I thank you, Lord, for my eyes or whatever it might be. Just thank him. Now thank him for some spiritual blessing. Just say, he likes this. You're not doing this for yourself, you're doing it for him. When we come to prayer, we're not coming here to have a good time for ourselves. We're coming here to give him a good time. And he just likes thanksgiving. I'm telling you, he does. He said in here, you see, in the Old Testament, they offered up sacrifices of animals to him. You know what we ought to offer up today, the sacrifices? The sacrifice of thanksgiving we offer up to him. And right now, did you know you're sacrificing to the Lord this sacrifice of thanksgiving, lifting it up to him? Okay, let's say, I thank you, Lord, for some spiritual blessing and name it. Go ahead and tell him. Now, thank him for some person by name. I thank you, Lord, for, and put that name in there. Would you go ahead and do that? Amen. Now, I come into his presence, and he said to, with thanksgiving and praise. And you get in here, and soon, boy, there's sin in your life, you will know it. Some days I'm praying and I'll be thanking and praising the Lord, and he'll say to me, you weren't too nice to Johnny before you left this morning, were you? And I'd say, no, I wasn't. Would you forgive me? Now, I used to have to wait a little bit. I don't have to wait. What I do right after that is get up and go to the phone. You know what for? To ask Johnny to forgive me. You see, he lets you know when sin's in your life when you get into his presence. You don't have to go through some morbid self-searching every day. He lets you know, and I'll tell you how to know the difference between the conviction of the Holy Ghost and the condemnation of the devil. You want me to tell you how? When the devil is getting at you about sin, he says, you've sinned, you've sinned, you're a naughty boy, you've sinned, you've sinned, you've sinned. And you say, what have I done? You've sinned, you've sinned, you've sinned. He never tells you. But when the Holy Ghost convicts you of sin, he tells you exactly what you have done that's wrong and exactly what you ought to do about it. That's the difference between, to tell the difference between the Holy Ghost and the... But you see, most of us have a sin complex. Somebody said evangelists gave us that, and I'm not too sure they aren't right. I'm a no-good sinner. I'm not a no-good sinner. I'm a saint. That's right. I'm a saint. You're looking at somebody that's a saint. You can call me Saint Peter. You won't be wrong.
He said, you think a lot of yourself, not any more than God thinks. God said, I was a saint. That's good enough for me. When he said, I was a sinner, I said, I was a sinner. Now he says, I'm a saint, I'm a saint. Did you know I'm as righteous as Jesus? That's right. I'm dressed up in Jesus. When God looks at me, all he sees is Jesus. Boy, I tell you, you don't have to crawl into God's presence when you dress right. He'll show you the sin. He wants fellowship with you more than you want it with him. And if you really mean business with him, he'll show you what's wrong. And if you're not getting through, you can just know this. There's something wrong in your life. And the next best question is, would you please tell me what's wrong and what to do about it? He'll tell you. And if you still don't get any answers, you're probably not saved. Now, let's go through. Flip back to daily. Let me take you back through this quickly. And will we go off of this thing at 8 o'clock? We'll see you all on radio a little later here. Now, go to the sheets. There's a sample sheet in here that if you're keeping the books, you ought to tear out. Now, this little boy's name right up here, this is personal needs. Now, I brought my prayer book along tonight just to show you. Mine's full and changed and everything. But one of the personal needs I pray for every day is a pure heart. You know why? Because blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. And the purer my heart is, the more God gets clear. And I couldn't begin to tell you what God has shown me in these days. But I come to him and said, you told me to have a pure heart, and I write down, you see, right in this section, pure heart. And I write down the date I'm starting praying, and this sort of answer takes a long time. And then I write down here the thing God's telling me. Now, look at that illustration. Let me give you a thing. Suppose you're praying for patience with the children, and you're saying, oh God, please show me the roots of my impatience. Now, look where I've circled those two things. Some people are doing too much physically. You know, God's real practical. If you're tired, he'll tell you to rest. The reason some women are so irritable with their children, they're doing much. Now, whenever God speaks to me, I circle it so I'll remember it. And as I look back across my prayer sheets, I can find out what God said. Now, if you're impatient and you're very tired, God will probably tell you to get rested and quit dropping around in those garden clubs and other things and drop off some of those things. And then he'll probably tell you to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, you just write down why. You see, you've asked God. God, I'm impatient. Why? You know, Bill Gothard talks about roots, and he'll tell you. And you write it down. Now, flip on. You'll notice there are about 6 or 7 sheets for personal needs, because you need prayer more than anybody else, no matter what you think. Now, come to family member. I figure I need praying when I get to intercession. I need praying for. And these requests are in here. Now, family member, that's my little boy's name right there. And as I explained to you earlier, God made me a promise. So I write that up there so I can say, you promised, you promised, you promised. Now, this was written some time ago, but you can see in here I'm praying, one, for his salvation and his sanctification. I don't want him just to get in through the gate. I want him all the way in the house. Trouble with a lot of you is you get your kids saved and then quit praying for them, and the devil still got his claws in them. And they keep acting like the devil. Pray them all the way through. One of the tricks of the devil is to give you a partial, when you get a partial answer to prayer, you relax and you say it's all done. And before long the devil sweat. Listen, pray through to full victory. Now, for instance, he had a little problem with rebellion. You understand what I mean? So, we've been praying. Listen, my wife and I pray for the spirit of our kids, not their physical things mostly. And I can't tell you the changes that come into them. My beautiful daughter, Ruth Ann, 14 years of age, about the worst fault she has right now is that she looks often like she's having a private pity party. I feel sorry for me, won't you too? You know, that kind of party. And we've been praying for dear Ruthie that she'll have a cheerful countenance. And we know that the secret to a cheerful countenance is a merry heart. And oh, how God's been changing her. Giving her a merry heart. It isn't completed yet, but she's coming through. She doesn't have a party every day now. Now, you see, that's specific. Now, just turn over to family members right over here, to a blank sheet. Let me show you. I don't know about your family, but brother, I'll tell you something. My family is the most important project I've got on earth. And I write my kids' names down, my wife, and then I have each one of my kids. Now, I pray for them in a sense every day, but I zero in on one of them one day in a week. Now, let me just illustrate to you. And I'll get it right out of here. When I pray for Ruthie, I pray in these little squares right here, I put the requests in the order of importance. Now, the first request I pray for Ruthie is that she'll be conformed to the image of Christ. And I write most of my prayer requests out in scriptures. I figure you can't do anything better. I mean, you know you're praying in the will of God when you're praying along scriptures. So I have here. Here is Ruthie's sheet. Romans 8:29. That's that she'll be conformed to be like Jesus. Next, Mark 12:30. That she'll be, love the Lord her God with all of our heart. Ephesians 3:14-21. That she'll be filled with the love of God. And then, I pray for her. Proverbs 31. You know why? I want her to be like that woman in Proverbs 31. That's the best I can find. I want the best for her. I don't want her just to scrape through. I want her to be God's best. So I say, Lord, you said that the best woman was in Proverbs 31. That's the best according to my light. And I said, that's what I want for Ruthie. Her marriage and vocation, and then these other things down here that I've mentioned. I pray for these. Now, pray specifically. When God answers a prayer, cross it out as he gives you another one. I'm supporting my family in prayer. Okay, I pray for them. Pray for mom and dad. My mother and dad are having an awful time. They're down on a little island in the Caribbean that's having rebellion. Twice in the last 6 months, they've been held up at gunpoint. Twice. And we got a letter just last week saying, get them out of here as quickly as you can. Things are bad. I just got a letter. So, you see, I really need to support my dad's 80-something, my mother is 70-something, needs to be supported in prayer. And I've written down over the top, honor, 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 honor. You see, I know what God's will is for me to honor my parents. And one of the best ways, you know what God often tells me when I'm praying for my parents? If you want to honor them, write them. You see, God's practical. He tells me to write them. And I write down, write them, and circle it so I'll know to do what he's told me to do. Let me tell you a blessed experience. One day I was praying for Susan, my 23-year-old daughter, and the Holy Ghost said, pray for me to protect her. And I wrote down in my prayer book, protect her. That afternoon, coming home from college, a car ran into the back of her car, shoved it up into the car in front of her, completely demolished her Volkswagen, and she wasn't hurt at all. How do you think I felt the next day when I went back and read that the Holy Ghost had said for me to pray for protection before it happened? You see, it's exciting to be able to keep the count in here. Now, turn on over. And we've got to get moving. The preacher said, be sure and let you all out of here so you'll be on your way home by 8:30. And I want to live with all the wishes of my dear friend as close as possible. Now, go to the prayer for our church. Folks, listen, pray for your church. Now, this prayer is a sanctified prayer because it's the prayer Jesus prayed for the church, most of it. John 17, I hold this prayer or portions of it over Park Avenue every day. Oh, God, do this for us. This is what Jesus prayed for his church. You can't get any better than that if you tried from now till doomsday. Okay? Prayer for our church. Now, turn over the page. Pray for the church in America. We are in desperate shape. I put this in the daily section because I believe we're living in crisis days and people need to pray. Listen, beloved, lift up the church in America that God will have mercy on us. We can't ask for anything but mercy. And ask that the church will enter into its part of 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now, turn over to Sunday. We're not going to go back over the praise portions again because we've been that and time forbids. Now, let me encourage you here on Sunday to pray for your church leaders. Now, if I were you, I'd move one, there are two sheets in there, I'd move one of them over to every day and pray for the pastor. I'd pray for the pastor every day. Pray for your deacons. Pray for your Sunday school teacher. Pray for the leaders. You don't have elders in this church. We call ours elders. What difference does it make? Well, you can cross out elder and put a leader in there. Pray for these men that stand by him. Elmer Bailey. Pray for this blessed song leader right here. Pray for him that under the power of the Holy Ghost, he'll pick the right songs out and have the strength to lead this choir. Listen, these men are no stronger than your prayers for them. They need to be prayed for, don't you? Wouldn't you consider it a privilege? Oh, man, to have a crowd like this praying for you. Hallelujah. Now, let me say this to you. You will not pray for people that you don't write down their names. The palest ink is better than the strongest memory. You remember that, yeah? The palest ink is better than the strongest memory. Okay, turn over the page. My God-given ministry. You say, I don't know what it is. Well, if you don't know what it is, pray for it. Listen, the trouble with the church today is there are too many spectators, not enough participators. Every member of this church, or whatever church you're a member of, God's got something for you to do. And you ought to know what your ministry is and be doing it. Listen, you're part of the body. Ask God to show it to you. If you know what it is, pray for your God-given ministry. Pray for the development of your spiritual gift, that you'll understand God's ways, for an anointing for your ministry. Right up here, God has given me the ministry of. I know what God has given me the ministry of, as a pastor, as a shepherd teacher. That's what God's called me to be. And I pray for the anointing in that area. Okay, there are two sheets in there, just, you know, a little extra. Now turn over to Monday. On Monday, there are 6 pages to pray for fellow believers. And these aren't the ones who have gone bad, okay? These are not the ones that have gone bad. And if you look over at the blank pages, look at them. On each blank page, there's a scriptural prayer. Most of them, if not all of them, Paul prayed for different churches. 2 for Ephesians, 1 for Colossians, 1 for Philippians. I don't remember all the things right here, but these are prayers that Paul prayed. Let me give you a key in praying. When you don't know what to pray, do one of two things. Pray a scriptural prayer, or let the Holy Ghost pray through you. And what I mean by the Holy Ghost praying through you is this, that you come. In Romans 8:26, it says, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit within us makes intercession. So what I do is this, I hold my wife up and say, Lord, I don't know what Johnny needs praying for today, but the Holy Spirit living in me does. If you want to tell me, I'll pray it. If you don't want to tell me, you pray it. And the Holy Spirit prays with groanings which cannot be uttered in us and through us. To the Father. But see, I've got to give him time to do that and not rush on to something else. Now, in Sunday school classes, I don't know how you'd organize yourself. And let me give you a warning here. Don't let your prayer list get too heavy, too big. If you set aside 30 minutes to pray, don't take more than you can pray over in 30 minutes. One of the tricks of the devil is to get you so overloaded, you come to the time of prayer and dread it because it's going to take you an hour to get through. Now, it's sort of like lifting weights. Lift 50 pounds till you can lift 60. When you lift 60, lift 60. As God enlarges your prayer capacity, your prayer ministry will become greater. And isn't it wonderful? You can sit right in your living room and shoot anybody down for the glory of God? Well, boy, I tell you. God's missiles. If you want to read a book sometimes, there's a man in the China Inland Mission called Ian Fraser who wrote a book, Behind the Ranges, and he tells how his ministry in China was changed when 7 or 8 women in England got behind and prayed for him. It was absolutely transformed when they prayed like that. You can read that book sometime. Now, let's go on over fellow believers on Monday and Thursday, but we'll come to that in a minute. Now, go to Tuesday. The third page on the Tuesday is a tract from Back to the Bible broadcast. They gave me permission to print it, and how I learned to pray for the lost. How I learned to pray for the lost. This, if you want to know how to... You see, praying isn't just praying. There's an art to praying. It's the highest, holiest art in all the world. And this woman, God showed her the art of praying for the lost. And it's the best I know. So read it and then use it. Turn over the pages. Now look at John Brown. right here, you're praying for John Brown that he might be, if he's backslidden, pray that he'll come back. And pray. Often when I'm praying, I just use scriptures. The Holy Ghost will bring a scripture to my mind and say, do this for him. Do this for him. And write the scriptures out. Okay? Go on over the pages. You see they're all blank there for you to fill in people's names. Now let's go to Wednesday. Folks, did you know the Bible said if you want to go on a good warfare, first of all pray. First of all pray. And the first thing it tells us to pray for is governmental authorities. Now listen. Let's quit bellyaching about the people who run our government. And, excuse me for that word, it wasn't very nice in a nice pulpit like this, but that's exactly what it is. Let's quit fussing about our government and start praying. I honestly believe that what happened in Washington a couple of years ago happened because people prayed and fasted God would do something in Washington. Now, let's not quit. You see, that time we waited till a crisis. I wish we'd pray as hard for the president now. as we do when things are going bad, 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 bad. Let's not wait till they get bad to have to try to get him out of it. Let's pray for them now. And so, if you you can tear out the sheet if you're keeping it. It's just an example. Turn over the sheet and fill in the places. Listen, pray for them by name. I pray for Governor Askew every Wednesday. He's a Christian man, and I want to uphold him in that office. And I just say, Lord, take our governor and bless him and give him wisdom about how to run this state and so forth. Okay? Now turn on over the page. God does not bless people who are selfish. You pray for other churches in this city, okay? Listen, Bellevue Baptist Church, no matter how great it is, can't do the job here alone that needs to be done. I praise God for you. But you see, your bigness will be shown in praying for other churches in this city that God will bless. I praise God for your pastors. We drove up and down one of these streets. He said, there's a great Presbyterian church. And then there was church that wasn't any denomination. He says, that man's really out and out for the Lord. Pray for these people, beloved. Listen to me, listen. The devil, you always pray for leadership at any level, because if the devil can shoot down leadership, he can get the rest of the clan. There are no men in this church that need prayer anymore than those sitting on the platform and these others out here that lead you. No people that need prayer anymore. You support them in prayer. You think God's done anything through them yet? I'll tell you something. You'd just be surprised to see what God can do through them. Okay, pray for other churches. Now, this is the day I pray for Reverend Rogers, but you see, I've added sheets to mine. I'm able to lift a little more in prayer than I'm encouraging you to lift, and I lift him and brother, Sister Joyce up. I really do. Every Wednesday, and some of our other friends and ministers that I believe God's got his hand on. Sometime I might even shift you over to Daily. I love you so much. And it's not that I'm all that wonderful, it's that God's all that wonderful, brother. And you see, I don't count myself as anything except that I have the right to present anything before him, and then he does it. Okay, let's go over to Thursday. And we're not going to stay there because it's for fellow believers again. As I said earlier, if you're praying for people, you ought to spend more time praying for those that are doing good than those that have gone bad. Because if you pray, have you ever noticed how many Christians are going bad down the tube, so to speak? Well, you see, you weren't supporting them in prayer. God forbid that you should sin in ceasing to pray for them. Okay, let's go to Friday. And the WMU will love Friday. I always go up in their books when I get to Friday. Now, listen. The only time I've ever seen my wife really angry at me was about 14 years ago when she came back from a WMU meeting. This was down in West Palm Beach, his hometown, and I said to her, she came into my office and said, what did you all do today? Oh, she said, we had a program on prayer. I said to her, how much time did you spend praying? She said, about 5 minutes. I said, how much time did you spend talking about praying? And she said, 55. I said, that's just like the WMU. It sounds just like that to me. And I started to really give her a fit about the WMU, and she just took off her shoe and threw it at me. I knew there was just a little bit of the flesh left in her when she did that. In those days, I was just plain wicked, and I sure was glad to drag her down to my level for one short second. You know, there's a sadistic pleasure in when you're bad, dragging other people down to your level. But I'm not even sure that wasn't a sanctified throw. I really am not. Now, in this section, there are maps of the world. And if you'll go in there, we couldn't put it all on one page. There are two maps of the United States and South America, and then there are two maps of the other part of the world. Now, folks, write your missionaries' names in there, draw a line to where they are, and visualize them. For instance, I don't think you probably know him, some of you might, but I pray for Dr. Sam Konata. He's a medical doctor in Ethiopia. I pray for Dr. McCoy. He's a medical doctor in Nigeria. I pray for Dr. Worley and his wife. He's head of the seminary in Nigeria. I lift these people up before the throne of grace. And you see, I never prayed for missionaries before. I never remembered to pray for them until I had their names before me. And I lift them up and hold them up before the throne of grace that God might bless them. Listen, they're out in there doing the work. We sent them out. Let's not only give them money. Let's support them with our prayers. Let's lift them up. Let's say there are 2,000 people in here tonight. If all of you would pray for 6 missionaries, My life. Can you imagine what would happen just from this church? And Brother Pastor, I'd like to suggest to you, because many new members, new Christians, that in your bulletin sometimes you publish the names and addresses of the missionaries or the places of the missionaries that this church has a special interest in, because they either left Memphis or somebody in this church is related to them, that these people might lift them up in prayer and hold them up before the throne of grace. Anybody connected with the WMU knows that missionaries get prayed for on their birthdays. That's only once a year. And that many great things happen in their birthdays. They've testified over and over again. What would happen if we'd lift them up more often? And some of you with a special interest in missions might want to shift some of these sheets over to every day. I don't know. I'll leave that up to you. Now, Saturday has been sort of left just sheets that you can write the things out on you want, and you can shift them around. You know, I do less praying on Saturday. Maybe that's why I put it in here than any other day. It's the sort of day that I, you know, coast a little bit in all of my schedules and everything. I get down off of the real warfare praying on Saturday. And this is probably why I've done it like this. You know, you think everybody ought to do like you. But you see, the blessed privilege is this. All you have to do if you use this notebook is to open it and change the things around. Now let me tell you what got me started in all of this, and then I want to tell you just two things in closing, and then we're going to close. One, about 10 years ago, I took a stenographer's notepad, and I noticed some of our church members weren't doing too hot. I remember sitting or seeing a woman. She'd sit in the back of the church and look like she's had lemon juice for breakfast, you know, and there were others that, although they were church members, did not seem to be highly interested in spiritual things. So I took a stenographer's notepad, and I think I wrote 17 names down on 17 pages, and I used to pray for them like this. But I lost the notebook. And about 2 years later, not 2 years after I started, I didn't lose it that whole length of time, but I lost it somewhere in the interim period, one Sunday night, I was getting ready to go into church, and that notebook was lying open on my desk. And I flipped through it. At least 12 of those 17 people had been radically changed, and that very night one of the men was getting baptized that I'd been praying for. And I thought to myself, my life, God does answer prayer on behalf of other people. You know, anybody can say God answers prayer, but when you discover it for yourself, oh, it becomes so very, very true. I don't know what would happen if you all would really get to pray and give 30 minutes a day alone to God. Now, this is just a guide. It's not the only guide. I wouldn't even pretend to believe it's the only guide. It's just the one God's led us into. I don't know. I know there are thousands of Bible study guides. I don't know too many prayer guides. There are all kinds of adaptations of this that I've shared with you, Pastor. But I want to close with this illustration, and then I'm through. Sidlow Baxter wrote an article called Brass Heaven in the Decision magazine some years ago, and this was his testimony. And you know, as Adrian has told me about Sidlow Baxter, you know what my prayer is? My prayer is this, that someday people will be able to see Christ in me in every moment. And when they shake me, the only thing that will ever spill out of me will be the Lord Jesus. That's what I want to be like him. But anyway, Sidlow Baxter said when he started out as a young preacher, he had every intention of praying but didn't pray. And you'll find out, if you talk to Sidlow Baxter in private, he has a very, very strong devotional life. But he said this, one day I decided I'd missed the boat and I was going to pray. And he said, I set aside some time to pray and I got down to pray. Now listen carefully, you have to understand something about yourself. He said, Will and I got down to pray. W-I-L-L. That meant his will. He said, when Will and I got down to pray, emotions went out to the golf course. Emotions just fought us everywhere. We had to fight and fight. As we tried to pray, Will and I, emotions nagged us and said, don't stay there, you're wasting your time, and on and on and on and on. And he said, for 2 whole weeks, we battled with emotions. It was an awful time. But he said, Will and I stuck it out. He said, after about 2 weeks, something very, very funny happened. He said, one day Will and I got down to pray and we couldn't find emotions at all. They just weren't anywhere around. There wasn't any battle. There wasn't anything. It was just Will and I. We just went through it without a battle. But we went through our praying routinely. He said, this happened for about 2 weeks. And then he said, a very funny thing happened about 2 weeks later or sometime. I don't remember the exact time. He said, one morning, Will and I were praying and emotions joined us. He said, I began to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. He said, I began to enjoy it. Listen, folks, I'm just telling you this. You're going to have to fight emotions for some time. And after you quit fighting emotions, you're going to have to wait. But I want to tell you something. God doesn't hear you because you feel like praying. God hears you because you have chosen to pray. In obedience to His command, in the acceptance of His invitation. But I'm going to tell you something. It is a blessed time when emotions join you. And many times you're going to come out the prayer closet walking about 6 inches off the ground. Why? Because the whole of you has met God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Listen, listen. I beg you, pray. I beseech you. Start out on the individual level, then go to the family level. I don't give you much credit for people who pray in public who don't pray in private. You learn to pray in the closet. Oh, it's going to be exciting. When you are able to say, God spoke to me and I spoke to Him. And when you share with people, it'll not be about somebody else's book, somebody else's experience, but it'll be your own personal encounter with the living, everlasting, loving God who is up there. Folks, He's good. And He's merciful. And He's a God who restores the years that the locust have eaten. Would you get to know Him? If you know Him, get to know Him better. You know what the Apostle Paul said in his closing years? I want to know Him. Paul, don't you know? Oh, yes, I want to know Him better. I want to know Him. The only way you'll ever get... You can know about Him from Brother Rogers and your Sunday school teacher and from the guys on the radio. But the only way that you'll ever know Him is to personally encounter Him. Before I turn the service over to your pastor, I'd like to pray with you. Could I? Holy Ghost, would You put upon us Yourself in such a way that You will call us to prayer. Help us to respond to Your impression, Your little shove, Your call, whatever it might be, however You see fit to deal with us. And blessed Holy Spirit, we're counting on You to teach us how to pray to the Father with the Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we know that right now You're engaged in praying. And prayer is Your work, and we want to join You in Your work in interceding. We plead rebellion by not praying. Forgive us. We plead ignorance. Teach us. We thank You that You do call us to prayer. We thank You for the wonderful opportunity. Would You please help us so that we can transform this house we live in into a house of prayer for Your sake and for Your glory. And we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus, who loved us, gave Himself for us, that He might reconcile us to You, our Father, that we might know You and love You, and that You might be able to love us. In His name we ask it. Amen.